Now, if you missed out on the earlier events of today, for those 13 and over, they're hidden out in the narthex in the parlor are boxes of candy and cans of soda. So if you go out, and if the younger ones have not already discovered them, you're welcome to beat them to it. So, and if you're really struggling now, you may want to go find it to stay awake. But I'll do my best to keep you awake here. Well, good morning again. Today is my favorite day of the year. Today is the single most important day of our Christian faith. Today is the day that the great miracle worker performed his greatest feat by coming back from the dead and walking out of the tomb. And as we learn throughout our sermon series, the miracles of Jesus really drew some crowds. But Jesus was so much more than a magic act. In the world of magic and illusions, there is always there's more than meets the eye factor, right? As kids, all we see is that trick in front of us. But I know as an adult, I'm intrigued by the process. I want to know how they pulled it off. Whether it was just a sleight of hand or a method of counting cards or maybe something even more elaborate. Now, I've never been very good with magic tricks. I don't have great dexterity for that. But I'm going to try to do one here with the help of Max and Drew. You want to come help me out? All right, so Max, I want you to stand over here. And Drew, we're going to try to make this coin disappear. Do you think we can make this disappear? Yes. Okay, first of all, we want Max to empty out his pockets. We want to prove he doesn't have a coin hidden on him, right? Okay? So now what we're going to do is we're going to take this coin right here, and I'm going to have you blow this coin. Okay. All right, this coin right here, I'm going to have you blow on it and make it disappear. Okay. And we're going to try to make it go right at Max. Can you do that? Okay. Ready? You got to blow really hard. Ready? Wait. You got it. We got to go on three. Ready? One. Wait a minute, you know how to count? Okay, you do know how to count?
Yes.
Okay, you do the 1, 2, 3 then. Ready?
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh.
Whoa. Where'd it go? I don't know, let's find it. Did it go on Max? Let's shake Max down. Start shaking him out. See if you can find it. Can you find it? Do you see it? Shake. Whoa. What was that? The coin! We found it! You did a good job. All right, way to make it disappear.
Yeah.
Here, you can have the coin.
Well done.
Now, when it comes to our Easter story, this was no parlor trick. This was no grand illusion. This was a great miracle on its own. A true miracle where Jesus walked out of the tomb. But even in this miracle, there is more than meets the eye. Let's go back to our scripture from Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples." What a grand finale to his ministry, right? This miracle by Jesus was his greatest feat yet. Or at least it seemed to be. I mean, after all, Jesus didn't just die. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was beaten, he was tortured, and he died right there in front of his followers, died in front of his enemies, died in front of the most powerful nation in the world. And the Romans confirmed his death by piercing his side. This man was dead, right? And the Romans handed over his dead body to his followers for burial. And just to make sure his disciples didn't try any funny business, a large stone was rolled in front of the tomb and guards stood watch outside. Jesus was dead. Jesus was entombed. His body was under guard. And yet Jesus did the absolutely impossible miracle. A dead man came back to life and walked out of the tomb by his own power. And this miracle is the miracle we celebrate each and every Easter. This morning at sunrise service, we sang one of my favorite hymns, proclaiming, "Up from the grave he arose." He arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. And if we just look at it from the standpoint of a miracle, we go, wow, that was a really good miracle. But there's more than meets the eye. Why is this miracle so significant? I mean, in the Bible, we know Jesus brought several people back to life. It was one young lady, the daughter of Jairus, and another person. And he even brought Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, back to life. So what's so different about him coming back to life? The real miracle we need to see is not that he walked out of the tomb. It's that Jesus made it possible for our sins to disappear. Right? I made it look like a little coin disappear, but it didn't really, right? The coin was still there. But Jesus made it so that our sins could disappear. Romans 3 tells us this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of our sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. You, me, everyone has sinned. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we read, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Because God is holy, God is righteous, God is perfect. And the punishment for our sin is eternal death. Something had to be done about our sin. The only way to have eternal life from God is if somehow magically our sins disappeared. If our sins were somehow magically erased, if only someone else could magically pay the penalty for our sins and we would be made clean. So now we turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So we see right away that Jesus Christ had divine power. It was only a divine Christ who could provide purification for our sins. In Hebrews 2:14 it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all have their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. See, Jesus was very unique because he was fully divine. He had all of God's nature, but he also became fully human. And because of that uniqueness of Jesus Christ, he was now in the position to break the curse of sin that was introduced to humanity through the devil. Verse 17 says, for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus remained pure and without sin his entire life. And even though he was tempted in every way, and by remaining perfect, he alone has the power to atone for our sins. A fancy way of saying he can magically make them disappear. And jumping into Hebrews 4, it says, Therefore, since we have great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God knows that we are weak, yet he showed us great mercy and he showed us grace. And in Hebrews 5, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Just as Jesus was obedient to God, through our obedience, Jesus becomes the source of our eternal salvation. And in Hebrews 9 we read, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. In the old temple Jewish law, people had to go back again and again and again and again and again. But because Jesus was perfect, because Jesus was God, he only had to die one time for all sin. The scriptures goes on to say, but he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself, just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, I know this was a long way to go for the simple message that Christ came so that our sins could disappear. But that's the scripture that tells us why Jesus did what he did. That tells us why the plan of salvation is the way it is. Because sometimes it just doesn't make sense. I mean, if someone came to you and you had no knowledge of God, no knowledge of Jesus Christ, and someone told you that this God figure made a human figure that called him his son and put him on a cross and killed him, that sounds rather stupid, doesn't it? It doesn't make sense. But because of our fallen nature, there was only one way for God to provide salvation, and that was through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. And because he walked out of that tomb, because he conquered sin and death, he made it so that our sins could disappear. Now, could disappear is the key word. Because in order for this miracle to be complete in us, we have to do our part. We learn this from the disciple John in 1 John 1. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we want the miracle of making our sins disappear, if we want the miracle of salvation, the miracle of eternal life, then we must confess our sins and walk by the ways of God. And when we give our lives to God in obedience, Jesus comes to dwell in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is a miraculous gift from God waiting for you to accept. And let me make this very clear to you. If you do not confess and if you do not repent, then your sins are not removed. And when judgment day comes, you will be judged by your sin. And when God opens up the book and he sees your sin, you are condemned forever to the eternal place of death we call hell. But when you come to faith through Jesus Christ and you give your life to him in obedience and you repent of your sins, Jesus Christ says, pow. And your name is there and there's no record of your sin. And God says, I need to pronounce judgment of the sinners. And Jesus will say, these people are covered by my blood. These people have been forgiven and redeemed and made holy. Their sin is gone, forgiven, gone, away forever. The miracle of Easter is for you. The miracle is for you to accept, for you to repent, for you to confess, for you to receive the Spirit of God. The miracle of Easter is found in this refrain. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you now in a time of prayer. Lord, it is my prayer that people are aware of your presence here today, that your Holy Spirit be moving among them and in their hearts. May they see their own sin, and may they desire to confess it to you today. May they choose to receive this gift of salvation that you have offered them. A gift we receive through faith and obedience. And Lord, now we take time to quietly confess our sins to you. Lord, forgive us for the times we've acted out in anger, the times we've been full of envy, the times we have said unkind things, the times we've turned our back. Lord, forgive us for the times we have denied. Lord, forgive us for the things that we have left undone, for the times that you've called us to service and we have said no, for the times we have ignored someone who was poor or in need, for the times you've called us to be in your presence and worship and we've chosen other things than to put you first. Lord, forgive us for not making you first in our lives. Lord, we desire this gift from you. And Lord, your word says those who are faithful to confess and repent of their sins, that you are a faithful God who will forgive us. And for all those who have earnestly repented of their sins, I pronounce that by the love and grace of God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, that you are forgiven. Lord, it is my prayer that those who may have never understood or heard the word before, that today they heard the real truth, and that they may choose salvation over sin and death. Lord, we've come here to celebrate this great miracle of your Son, Jesus Christ, walking out of the tomb. But Lord, we know that miracle means nothing unless we do our part. Lord, I give you thanks for my salvation. And although I know I am not perfect, I know that your Spirit dwells in me to steer me and guide me to better ways. And thank you for the peace and the assurance that I have of your salvation. And Lord, my prayer is that others can share in the same peace, the same love, and the same joy. Lord, continue to strengthen us as your church, as your people, and may others come to know the salvation given to us by the miracle of your Son, Jesus Christ. This we pray in his name. Amen. Without the miracle of the resurrection, there is not the miracle of salvation. It is not by our membership in a church or lack of membership in a church. It is not by how many good deeds we have done or how many good deeds we have not done. God does not measure by that standard. There's only one standard by which we are measured. Have we accepted salvation in Jesus Christ? Have we been cleansed by his holy blood? Today you have received the proclamation of God's word. May you receive this word. May you respond to this word and give your life to Christ so that you too may share in another miracle, the miracle of eternal life. Leave here knowing that you are loved by a great God, a faithful servant in his Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of his great Holy Spirit. Amen.